All right, y'all ready? We're going to start with number 188. 188. And remember, in this book, we've been demoted from worms to sinners. So if you're singing from memory, it's not worm is high, it's sinner is high. I always get that mixed up. 188.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith.
Somebody throw a number out.
217.
217. All right. We'll do the first and second and fourth. 217.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Oh.
right over Christmas into Easter there, but that's okay. 145. All right, now we got back to the right time. We'll do all three. 145. Sorry about that.
Christ in love free.
188.
Whew. Now you're asking a lot of me here. Let's see. How are we going to do this? Let's see. Let's do the first and third. To stop because I can't do no more after that.
Turn, if you would, to Psalm 92, please. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can sing of the birth of our Lord. The marvels of the incarnation never cease to amaze us, to cause us to praise you for your grace and your goodness to us, sending your Son as Savior. Thank you that we can sing of a risen Savior. Christ the Lord truly is risen today. And again, we just praise you for your goodness and grace to us. But tonight, as we look at Thanksgiving again, pray that you would teach us, that you would bless us with this word. Thank you for what you have done, and that we are privileged as your children to give you thanks. So bless our time tonight, we pray in your name. Amen. Steve didn't know it, but this morning in his usual eloquence, he gave a good introduction for my message tonight, where he said, "The bird is gone." I thought that was great, Steve. Now, if you're Mike Bader, it's the pig that's gone, right? Mike put a pig, roasted a pig, and the traditional Thanksgiving is kind of being. But the day's over, right? And when you get to work or school or do something tomorrow, somebody's going to ask you, past tense, how was it? Because in the way we talk and the way we think, Thanksgiving is really over and we're getting on to bigger and better things. We survived Black Friday, which was probably washed out by Wet Friday, but now tomorrow we anticipate with great joy the Cyber Monday. What are we going to do on Tuesday? We got to do something anyway. But not only are we stretching out from Thanksgiving Day Thursday to Black Friday to Black Friday extended to Monday when we change to Cyber Monday, and we're extending the holiday, but we have an ending date, but we're pushing it the other way, and so we start Thursday on 6 o'clock on Wednesday or Friday on 6 o'clock on Thursday or something. But we're done with that, and we're ready for the next big one, which happens to be Christmas. And the stores have been kind of cheating a little bit. Since July, you've been able to see Christmas trees and hear Christmas carols. And we do. You know, we're looking for Christmas, and that's a big deal. Songs and music and pageants and drive-through manger scenes in church parking lots. That's one of my all-time favorites, by the way, with a real-life baby. Not dolls, but babies now. And decorations and presents. And as we think of Christmas, and then Thanksgiving is gone for another year. The fourth Thursday of next November will be Thanksgiving again. And, you know, I've been here now for close to 29 or 30 years up in this pulpit, and you know what I think about that. To take Thanksgiving and minimize it, or to make it negligible, to end it, is bad. It's bad theology, and it's bad practice. It's very, very bad. And so, tonight, I'm not going to say anything new. I just want to talk about that, about the value of giving of thanks. And by virtue of that, I'm talking only to Christians here tonight. People who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who understand at least some basis for theology. If you're not here, if you're here as a non-Christian, then maybe Christmas is good for you to start with, because Christmas will lead you into Thanksgiving, because you can thank the Lord for sending His Son as your Savior. So, but I'm going to speak to us as believers and just review a couple of things. And my thesis is muted a little bit, but I submit that in some ways Thanksgiving is the most important holiday for Christians, much more important than Christmas and much more important than Easter. Now, you can work on that one. Christmas is a remembrance. We remember, and forget the technical details about it, but we remember the birth of Christ, the incarnation, the reality of God sending a son as a man, and God did become men. become a man. And so that's what Christmas is. But we remember it because Christmas only happened once. The incarnation is no longer happening. It's a fact. And so Christmas is a remembrance. And Easter is also, in a sense, a remembrance. Because there was a day when the God-man was crucified, and there was a weekend that started out with the death of the God-man and ended with the resurrection, to a real resurrection of the God-man. And so when Christmas gave us the incarnation, the incarnate Savior, and Easter gives us a living Savior, those are days of remembrance. Now, we were affected by it all our life, but they're days of remembrance. We don't remember that in the same way. But Thanksgiving has to do with the way we live every day. And the concept of giving of thanks gives us a way that is absolutely necessary to live. And again, I would suggest that if you do not give thanks, you probably are not a Christian. Now, that's a solid statement. A non-thankful person cannot claim in that state of unthankfulness to be a Christian. Because that's just the way it is. So we want to just use a couple of verses out of Psalm 92 and develop them to just talk about the value of maybe the necessity, but the value at least of giving thanks. Psalm 92, just the first four verses. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with the ten-string lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. And the key word in there is the word, at least that my version says, it is good. The key word is good. And that word doesn't mean as opposed to bad. It means it's appropriate. It fits. It fits to give thanks to the Lord. It is appropriate to give thanks to the Lord because he's made us glad, verse 4, by what he has done. See? And notice, it fits to give thanks to the Lord. See? Not just be thankful. It doesn't say it fits to be thankful. It says it's fitting to give thanks to the Lord because you can't be generally thankful. It just, you walk down, you know, something happens, and says, oh, I'm so thankful. Well, what does that mean? Thankful to the sidewalk that I didn't have to walk through the mud? Or, you know, one writer, one of my favorite writers from up in Michigan, Cornelius Plantinga, said, being thankful in general is like being married in general. You can't be married in general, right? You're married very specifically. You can't be thankful in general. You are thankful for something, to something. You have to be very specific with your thanksgiving. And basically, as God's people, we specifically are to give thanks to the Lord. See? And understanding this is of great importance to us. First of all, the way you give thanks is an indication of your theology, what you really believe. What you believe about God, what you believe about the world, what you believe about yourself, what you believe about anything. Giving thanks is perhaps one of the most accurate ways to measure your theology. What do you really believe? See, when I say I thank the Lord for whatever, see, I am confessing this for whatever didn't come from a person or an organization or fate or whatever. See, I am confessing that I don't believe in time and chance, the tenets of evolution. That this just happened because we gave it enough time, and it just happened. It just happened. I thank the Lord for just happening, see. And I'm confessing not even to an intelligent designer. Don't get caught up in intelligent design. That does nothing for us. In the beginning, an intelligent designer did not create the heavens and the earth. See, I give thanks to the Lord is a confession, by the way, that I believe that God exists. You have to, if you say, I give thanks to the Lord. And if you thank anything else, you're just, where, you know, what do you really believe? I give thanks to the Lord starts my theology. Because it's a confession of the existence of a living God. By the way, a living God who acts in this world and who acts in my life. See, something has happened, something I have, something went on, and I say, I give thanks to the Lord for this. I am saying, I believe there's a living God who acts in my life. That's theology. And by giving thanks, you're confessing your theology. I confess that God is. He does things. Generally, by the way, we won't see it probably tomorrow, but you know my thrill on the sunrise every morning. God makes the sunrise. You can read that in Job or the Psalms and stuff. God sends the rain for the last 3.5 days. On Hilton Head Island, I stood out there just for fun on a couple of weeks ago and stood on the seashore, and the tide was coming in. I said, stop. I just thought I'd do it. I'd try it, you know, because that's by the way, that's thrown up to us in Scripture. Say, who directs the tide? Who makes it come in? And it didn't stop, by the way. If I'd stood there long enough, I would have gotten really wet. See, God sets the tide, and we can chart it, and we can say at 7:08 this morning it'll be high tide, at 3:02 in the afternoon it'll be low tide, and we say it will come up to here and it'll go back down there. We can chart it, but we can't make it. See, God does those things. He and when I say I thank, I'm confessing that God works in this world in just the big things. He sends the sun, he sends the rain, he sends the tides. He does specific things. Everybody take a deep breath. And God gave you that breath. Okay. God gave you that breath. Now we say, no, that's my, what is it, my autonomic nervous system? Is that the word? The thing that makes you breathe? When you lose consciousness, you fall down on the floor, your body tends to breathe because it's not a conscious thing. But God gives me my breath. He gives me my life. He gives me my family. He gives me my job. He gives me the life situation I'm in. He gives me all these things. And sometimes he works through human institutions. He works through the government. And we wrestle with Romans 13, but it's clear he works through the government. He works through schools. He works through hospitals. He works through companies. He works through relationships of marriage and family and friends. And when I say I thank God for this, I am confessing my theology. This is the God I believe in. This is the God I worship. This is the God I serve. He does these things. He works in my life. And sometimes, by the way, he works outside the normal things. There really are such things. Very rare, maybe, but they're not impossible. Miracles. Now, I don't know what a miracle would be. If I could do, what, two of them or three of them, I could be sainted, but I'm still working on number one. I'm not sure what that's going to be, but the Bears in the Super Bowl, that'd be a miracle. Hey, that's what I confess. Everything, and it's a consciousness. You walk through life saying, I thank God for this. That's a theology. That's a theological statement. That's not just, oh, you feel so good and you're just bubbling over with joy. It's a theological statement. It tells me what you believe about God, see. I confess that He does those things in my life, and I confess that He is good and does good for me, and that's what Thanksgiving does. It's an expression of my theology. And I can tell what you or I really believe by just listening to our giving of thanks or our lack of it. What do you believe about God when you don't give thanks? See, where's your theology? And thanksgiving is the way to determine it. It's a gauge. Psalm 92, verse 2. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. That word loving kindness is a big word, and nobody knows for sure exactly what it means. And it has to do with goodness. It has to do with mercy. It has to do with love that's related to covenant people. Sometimes your translation, I have covenant loyalty or something. But it has to do with the way that God deals with His people only. He doesn't have chesed for the world. He has that loving kindness with His people. And I wake up in the morning, I say, thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness to me today. You've given me another day, among other things. Tomorrow will be Monday. If I wake up and get up, then it's His faith, His loving kindness. And then when I go, I summarize the day at night to declare His faithfulness by night. I say, Lord, thank you for keeping your word today. If nothing else, the sun rises in the east and goes down in the west. See? But I lived through the day. I breathed through the day. I did this through the day. I did this. This happened. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. See? And it's good. It fits. It's appropriate to declare His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness by night. See? Because it's not only the theology that says I believe He exists, but it's an expression of what I believe about His character. He's not just a God who just is random, or a God who just is whimsical, or just thought it was a good idea at the time, see. It's His character to act toward me in loving kindness, and it's in His character to be faithful. And when I thank the Lord for these things, I am making a statement about what I believe about God's character. See. Something happens, and I say, Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Something happens, I see something, I say, Lord, I thank you for your loving kindness. It's an expression of what I believe about His character. And if I don't express that, then what I believe about Him, I don't know. His character is reflected in my giving of thanks or my lack of it. By day and night, I am confessing what I believe about God by my giving of thanks to Him. Now you can say, you don't know how bad my life is. It's hard to give thanks for my life. What I'm going through, or what I've gone through, or what I anticipate going through. And the answer is, God knows. What do you believe about God? See? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, hard verse. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God concerning you in Christ. See?
what you anticipate, what has gone on, what is happening to me right now in my life situation is God's will for me. Now you say, well, I believe that. The way you show you believe it, in everything give thanks. See? Don't say, well, in everything I'm going to wait and see how it works out before I decide to give thanks or not. See? It's in everything, regarding everything. See? What I am and what I have and what I'm going through and what has happened. In everything give thanks because this is His will. And when I say, I thank you, Lord, for this, I am expressing an acceptance and an understanding and a belief of that. I believe this is your will for me, Lord. I thank you for this happening. And if I can't say that, if I don't say that, then what do I believe about what's happening? It just happens. Life is tough. The world's a jungle. Well, that's the way the ball bounces. I mean, am I that way? Or is this what God is doing in my life? Your belief is expressed by your giving of thanks for these situations, whatever they may be. And I can tell about myself, and I can tell about you what you believe about the Lord's will for your life by how you give thanks for the things that are happening to you. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 does for us. My theology, what I really believe, is revealed by my giving of thanks or my lack of giving of thanks. Now, we live in a country where it's easy to say it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to do this because they are out to get us. Whoever they are, they're always out to get us. We can't pray in public now. We can't bring Bibles to school. A godly life is not acceptable. It's not politically correct. It brings down abuse on our heads and stuff. See? And it's dangerous and hard. And we become like the shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks by night, right? What does it say about them? They were sore afraid, right? And we're running scared because they are out to get us. And Christians are really, they're like little kids that are frightened or angry and stuff, and they just strike out blindly, and we just are, because they're out to get us. And the answer is they'll probably get us. That's probably true. They'll get us. In this world system, they have all the money, they have all the power, they have all the influence. They're going to get us. But they can't take away giving of thanks. They can't take that away. They can't take away an expression of your theology. Now, you don't have to say, well, let me tell you about theology proper, and then let me get to soteriology and eschatology and bibliology, and you don't have to do the systematic theology thing. But you can say, I thank you, Lord, for this. See? They can't stop that. Romans 8:28 is still valid, right? I think it's still valid. God causes all things to work together, or depending on your translations, all things work together for good, or God causes all things to work. Either way, what's he saying? Everything is caused to work good, right? To his people. And by the way, if you don't like that verse, then you're left with, who is causing this thing to happen to me? See? And that's kind of a scary thought. But we know that this is caused by God to work for my good. What do I say? If I believe that verse is part of my theology, part of my Christian belief, if I believe it, then I say, I thank you, Lord, for this. And you can, it fits in the context of Romans 8:20, you know, Romans 8, and it has to do with ultimately I'm going to be saved. And that ought to be, I thank you, Lord, for that assurance too. But hey, remember in the first several chapters of the book of Acts, the apostles were commanded to stop proclaiming their faith. And they said, nah, don't think we can do that. And so they were beaten. And what did they do? They said, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be beaten for you. That's interesting when you think of what might happen to us as Christians. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to suffer for you. They went out, it says they went out rejoicing because they could suffer for his name. See. What did they believe about God? Well, we know because of the end result, they were rejoicing in it. Paul and Silas were in a dungeon in Philippi, and that's a pretty rough place. And so what did they do? They were singing hymns, probably hymns of praise to the Lord. I think they probably turned to number 85 in your hymn book, which you don't have to turn to right now, but they're saying, glorious is thy name, O Lord. Blessed Savior, we adore thee, we thy love and grace proclaim. Thou art worthy, thou art mighty, I think, something like that. Glorious is thy matchless name, something. Hadley's checking it out, he'll tell me afterwards. It's 85, Hadley. Maybe they sang number 12, I think it is. Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter claim. All in heaven above adore thee. Infinite thy vast domain, everlasting is thy reign. Maybe they sang that. But you know what happened, right? They're in jail, they're chained, and the jail was just really just a probably just a, like a big cave. No lights and stuff, and they're chained, and there's doors, and they could hardly breathe. There's no, and they're singing, and the Lord just happened to send an earthquake, right? Now, it doesn't mean that every time we sing, there's going to be an earthquake. But we do know what they believed. See, we do know what they believed because they were singing praises to God in the dungeon. See. And I can tell what they believed, and I can tell what you believe, and I can tell what I believe by my giving of thanks or my lack of it. It is good. It fits, by the way. It fits to give thanks to the Lord. It fits to give praises to his name, to declare his loving kindness in the morning, to declare his faithfulness by night. Because, Lord, you have made me glad, verse 4 says, by what you have done. And thanksgiving is an expression of what he has done. It's not only an expression of my theology, but it's an expression of my understanding of what he has done for me. Now, I'm going to just not reference salvation, but you don't want to not reference salvation. He has done that. But I, like I said, I'm speaking to believers tonight, and so that's a given. We are thankful for our salvation. We are thankful for our hope of eternal life and thankful for our inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us. And so that's just a given. You can't escape that. But I'm talking about other things in our life. And my thanksgiving reflects how I think. Job was just a pawn in a struggle between God and Satan. And Satan says, you've just bought Job. You make life so good for him, no wonder he loves you. And the Lord said, yeah. The Lord didn't say much to Satan. He says, yeah, take it away. We'll see. And so everything was taken away except just minimal enough to maintain life. And Job said, the Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Everyone else is saying, curse God and die. And Job says, blessed is the name of the Lord. See? We know what Job believed about God by just that little verse in the first chapter. The Lord gave, not Donald Trump, right? I'm rich, so what? The Lord gave, the Lord took it away. Blessed is his name. See? David, one of the neatest guys in Scripture, at the end of his life, he and Israel were exceedingly wealthy. There was finally going to be peace, and they were rich beyond degree. And so David had gotten the word that he could not build the temple. It wasn't the Lord's plan for him to build the temple. It was for his son. So David was stockpiling all the materials. And in 1 Chronicles 29, he said, we're going to have a nationwide collection. Come on, bring all your money. We're going to take an offering. And he took a big offering, and just unbelievably big. And people are just standing back and back. And where did all this come from? All this money, all this stuff. And David says, who am I? And what is my house that we can give this way? Everything here comes from you. He didn't say, I conquered the Amorites and took all their gold, and I conquered the Syrians and I took all their gold, and I did this and I got this riches, and we invested wisely, and E.F. Hutton showed me how to make money the old-fashioned way, right? And, you know, he didn't say that. He says, where'd all this come from? You, Lord, have given me all of this. See? And David realized that all he had came from God. And so it goes on, and it says, and I thank you, and I bless you for all of this that you've given me. And I look at my life, see, Job, David, and me, right? That's a triumvirate, isn't it? Exceedingly blessed. Now, you can forget about my fantasy of living on Michigan Avenue in the north side of Chicago overlooking Lake Michigan. Now, that's just a fantasy. Closest you come to heaven on earth, by the way. But anyway, see. My verse for me is in Philippians chapter 4. And this is an amazing verse, where Paul thinks about what he has. And verse 18 says, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied. I got all I need. I'm amply supplied. What more could he want? See? And it's a recognition when we give thanks that what we're giving thanks for comes from God. And these guys, Job and David and Paul, understood that everything they had was from God. And I just kind of come in on the tail and say, that's right. But if I believe that everything I have comes from God, then I will thank the Lord specifically for everything I have. I take nothing for granted. Nothing for granted. Nothing is due me. Nothing comes to me automatically. See? I get a check the fourth Wednesday of every month. But Social Security is the means by which those funds come to me, I grant you that. But that's not automatic. That's not due me. See, the Lord supplies. Paul says, I'm amply supplied. I have everything I need. See. And giving thanks turns you to one of the most important verses in Scripture, and it's 1 Corinthians 4:7, where Paul asks a question. What do you have that you didn't receive. You're all puffed up in whatever you're doing to the Corinthians. He says, tell me, what do you have that you didn't receive? And the only way we can express the right answer, we have nothing that we didn't receive, is to give thanks to the Lord for everything we received. See? So all of that to say, thanksgiving never ends. It is not over. The bird may be gone, for which we couldn't eat like that for more than a couple of days. We'd be, you know, we'd never make it to the next one. That may be all gone, and the celebration and the remembrance and that part of it may be gone. But the thanksgiving can never end for a believer, because we realize that's an expression of what we really believe about God and how He has acted in our life. And so I would just leave you with that thought, that every day, it's good, it's fitting to give thanks to the Lord, to declare His loving kindness in the morning, to declare His faithfulness at night, because what He has done, as we see it day by day by day by day, what He has done has made me glad. And what do I do when I'm glad? See? I give thanks to the Lord. I want us to close tonight with hymn number 44. It's just, you all know it. If it didn't have five verses, we'd sing it a cappella, but Margaret's going to play it to help us. But just think of these words, children of the Heavenly Father, and as we go through these five verses, think of how totally inclusive they are of your whole life. Marvelous, marvelous little song. And let's stand. We'll sing all five verses of this is our confession to the Lord tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of all of this about how you act in my life. And I thank you for it. Margaret.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. God His own doth tend and nourish, in His holy courts they flourish. From all evil things He spares them, in His mighty arms He bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Unto them His grace He showeth, and their sorrows all He knoweth. Praise the Lord in joyful numbers, your protector never slumbers. At the
number 11 for Dan Perkins. Okay, we'll sing through number 11 for Dan.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done? All that
Our Father, we do thank you for your loving kindness and your faithfulness tonight, expressed in very specific things in our life. We are your children. You are our gracious Heavenly Father. We rest that ultimately you are seeking to preserve us pure and holy. You meet our needs. You bless us exceedingly. You are our God. May we be thankful people, Lord. May we never take things for granted or take them begrudgingly even because they're from your hand. May people know of our belief in you and who you are and how you are by the way we give thanks, because we are thankful, Lord, for all that you have given us. So just bless us as we go. We thank you even tonight for those who have prepared refreshments, a meal for us, for their ministry and for the ministry of others, faithful Sunday by Sunday. Thank you for our time together tonight. In your name, amen.